Parshas Truma, which deals with the building of the Mishkan and its kelim and the utensils that were put in it, we have toward the end of Perek Kavav a description of how the bars, how the beams, the planks were made. The Chumash tells us, source 1, you should make bars of acacia wood, 5 for the planks of one side of the tabernacle, 5 bars for the planks of the second wall of the tabernacle, and 5 bars for the planks of the tabernacle wall at the back on the west. The middle bar inside the plank shall extend from one end to another, and we spoke about that as being that special wood from planted by Avraham Avinu, Yaakov Avinu took down. You shall cover the planks with gold, and its rings you shall make of gold as housing for the bars, and you shall cover the bars with gold. And here's the Pasuk Lamed, that I'd like to focus in on today. And today's, again, a perfect example of how you take a Pasuk, which seems at first glance not to teach us that much extra information, and Mamish, again, is the Yisoda Yisodus of Yiddishkeit, is teaching us a tremendous amount. We just have to open our eyes to see this. Pasuk says, you shall erect the tabernacle according to its manner, as you will have seen shown on the mountain. So you should build this tabernacle, you should set up these planks in the way that you were shown on the mountain. So we know earlier in Parshas Truma, the Pasuk tells us that we should do everything like HaKadosh Baruch Hu had commanded. The Pasuk says, "Kichol sheni mareh otcha tavnin ha-mishkan ve-tavnin kol keilav v'chein tasu." So earlier we already have that Hashem said, you know, you should make it exactly the way I told you. What is this Pasuk coming to add specifically at this particular juncture that is so important? And I'd like to try to derive, with Hashem's help, 3 different lessons that we can learn from this Pasuk, and 3 different directives for our lives. Idea number 1 of the 3 is what the Tiva Torah brings down, Rashi, Vakamota et ha-mishkan, lachar shigamer hakimehu, after you finish it, put it up, haraota bahar, kodem lachay, and you shall build it as you've been shown in the mountain beforehand, and shani atil lamdecha ularetcha seder kamato, and as I am going to, the plans I've already shown you, and as I'm going to instruct you in the future. Mevorah Khan explains the Tiva Torah, shalivnot et ha-mishkan afshar haya b'tnai echad. We see from here that the building of the Mishkan is predicated on one thing. Shelo osim shum davar levad rak api Hashem. Whatever you do has to be according to the way Hashem has commanded. Lo rak biyasiyato kach. Not only when you make it, elafilo echla kimoto. Also how you build it up is the way exactly Hashem has told Moshe Rabbeinu. Right? Not only the content, but the process of building it as well. And from here we learn, this is lesson 1, my friends, Shirak im shomim ela kadosh baruch hu bakol, only when you listen to Hashem in everything. V'nisarim lasot rak mashu mareh lahadjah, and you only do that which He shows you explicitly. V'lo osim shum davar levad, and you don't do things based on your own knowledge, your own thoughts. Az afshar liskol liyot eved Hashem, oved Hashem lufanav mikdasha. Then you can be a real eved Hashem. V'rakav zochim livnar eved hamikdash kedibayi. And this is the only way to build, really, to build the Beit HaMikdash. What this Pasuk is teaching us, and we'll Mirtz Hashem develop this as our first stage of pivotal planks, is that the way we build the Mishkan, which is, we know, Bilvavi Mishkan Evne, that we also have to build a Mishkan within ourselves, has to be directly and specifically according to the way Hashem commanded Moshe. That it's not something that we can say, oh, I think this is a nice thing to do. Gee, I think this is a good way of, you know, no, it's the way Hashem has commanded, and that is the directive we need to follow. As Rabbi Miller in Shabbat Shirim points out, he says, there are practical applications of this distinction even within the scale of normal living. It implies a call to restrain of this clamoring voice of the self, demanding, asserting, even in matters where the desired good is a spiritual one. There's a spiritual egoism, as well as a material one, expressed in an interest only in the benefit to one's own soul of a particular mitzvah. For example, without thought for the best manner in which, objectively and unselfishly, it should be performed. We should never lose sight of the moral sensibilities of other people. Never wound them. and our own determination to be virtuous, our generosity can mean the humiliation of another. Our piety is embarrassment. At all times, it is the will of Hashem that should determine our actions and motives, even when this might mean being a little less officious in our eagerness for mitzvot. And this is, as we've spoken about many times, you know, sometimes you're so excited to do something that you step on other people and you hurt other people and you say, well, I'm doing this in the name of Hashem. No. Yes, there's an inyan of doing a mitzvah, but Hashem has commanded us how to do it. As we spoke about at length last week, the sensitivity we need to other people. And that's what we need to understand, that in building the Mishkan, physical structure, as well as within ourselves, this repository for God to dwell, it has to be done with a sense of what is what Hashem wants from us. What is the correct mode of conduct? The Nefesh HaChaim, Yalkut Lekach Tov, quotes in source number 4, on the pasuk v'shachanti betocham, of dwelling within each and every one, he quotes here Amar Hashem l'Moshe, Al tachshavu shetachlit kavanati asiyat hamikdash hachitzoni. Recognize that my goal in building this outer structure is not only for the outer structure. Elo de'u b'no shekol tachle ritzoni b'tavi ha'mishkam v'kol keilav l'mos lachem. But it's rather to hint to us, shemimenu teru v'chein tasu atem et atzmechem. Through your actions, you should be the model of what a Mishkan is about. And this is the idea that Rav Hirsch speaks about in Surah 6. God does not grace us with His presence, protection, and blessing merely upon the scrupulous construction and upkeep of the sanctuary, but only upon the sanctification of our entire national and private lives, and their dedication to the fulfillment of His commandments. The Yalkut Lekach Tov continues in source number 7 and gives us a fantastic mashal or model. He says, "Hamachsein melech beveito, kama mechabed habayit or marbitzo." You know, could you imagine if you had a special person coming to your house? If you had a Rosh Yeshiva or someone who was very, very important, someone you really respected. Or let's take even a more basic example. You know, your child just gets engaged and the Mechutanim are coming to pay a visit. Right? What are you going to do? You're going to make sure your house is in, tip-top condition. Right? You're going to shape it up. And you're going to behave, you know, with the proper etiquette and make sure your kids are on their finest behavior, etc., etc. So if this is just a regular person visiting, Allah has come and come, much more so, that Hashem dwells within us, that our homes are a mini Beis HaMikdash, our lives are a mini Beis HaMikdash. If Hashem's dwelling among us, well, how do you think we should act? How do you think we should behave? What does our homes look like? And we know that, he quotes here, Rasim Chazissel of Kelman, source 8, that the Ikar Mishkan Ayah Rona Kodesh Vatorah, Asher Yitah Nitunabo, the Ikar of the Beis HaMikdash was the Mishkan, was the Arum, which is our thoughts. What are we thinking about? What enters into our mind? Are these pure thoughts? Are these the way we would like to be a conduit for Hashem Shekhinah? And this is exactly what the Nesiv HaShalom says in such a powerful Nesiv HaShalom in Source 9. He says, this idea of the Shachanti B'tocha B'toch, each and every person, Rashi says, L'doros, for all generation, it's a command for all of us. Shebechol ha'doros mitzuva Yehudi b'vasu li'mikdash. In every generation, we are commanded to build the sanctuary for Hashem. Sheyaseh gufo makom l'ashras ha'shchina. That our physical body should be a place that Hashem should dwell. And we know the Beit HaMikdash had three parts to it. It had the Kodesh Kedashim, the innermost sanctum, which corresponds, he says, to the moach, to our head. That we should be l'shabed ha'deod v'ashkafot l'avadat tov yibarach. The way we think should be in accordance with Das Torah, should be in accordance with the way a Torah Jew thinks. You know, and this is like in a normal day in, day out. It's not like, you know, when I'm learning, I'm thinking in Torah. In our daily interactions, that it should be a Torah mindset. You know, just what comes to my mind is this week has been an unusual week of tragedy in Eretz Yisrael, with this family, with this, just one after the other. And within our own community, Ramat Beit Shemesh, with a three Shiva visits and a Levaya, a fourth person, all within, you know, a few days, within 1 week. And I remember saying to Rachel, our older daughter, Kanayin Ohara, you know, Ima's going to pay another Shiva visit. And she said to me, without blinking, the pasuk from the Kohelis, it's better to go to Beis Avel than to go to Beis Mishta. That when a person finishes their lives, you know what they've done with their lives. At Beis Mishta, you don't know what's going to be, you know, coming from this simcha. You don't know what the end result is going to be. There's a certain simcha in going to a Beis Avel. Obviously, it's sad the person's died, but they've completed their mission. You're able to step back and see the entirety of a person's life. So again, it's thinking in a Torah way, where yes, there is a perspective, like get a grip. Yeah, it's hard to go one after another, one Shiva visit after another, but if you see within the Torah perspective of a celebrating life and not only mourning, it gives you a different perspective. That's what we're talking about, of thinking in a Torah mindset. Two, the second part of the Beis HaMikdash, we know, was the Hecha, the inner chamber, where you had the menorah, the Be'echek Torah, the Shulchan, and that's connected to Lev, that's the heart. Right? Limsor l'Hashem yitbarach et shukatav v'ritzonotav. Our desires we should direct toward Hashem. And then we have the outer mizbeach, where we had the mizbeach hachitzah, where you had the korbanos on them. And those are the madura taivos, our desires, like the kidneys, the place where we desire things. You know, I want. It's not really a lave, is thoughts of, you know, the madura tavot is, you know, taivos, it's real base desires, which is Mizbech HaChitzon, Shem Kedeged HaMizbech HaChitzon, Shevo Makrivim Korbanos, Ve'ish Tamid Tukar LaMizbech Lo Tichbet. And you always had a fire on the base of, on this outer Mizbech, Sha'esh Kodesh Taref HaMechalet Esh HaTaivos, that the Esh of Kedusha should be able to get rid of, to be able to elevate, expunge the Esh HaTaivos. And he says, this is Pshat and Siva Shalom at the end of 9. When we ask in Kapitel Kaf Zayin, we say in Elul Tishrei time, Achad Shalti Meit Hashem Osa Avakech. One thing I ask from Hashem, this is what I want, Shitveit Hashem Kol Yimei Chayai, to sit in the house of Hashem all my days. Shebeito Shalom Yiyabei Hashem, our house should be like the house of Hashem. Bayit Shemekayimim Bo Ritzon Hashem, a house that we do the will of Hashem. Bayit Shemakrivim Bo Korbanot Ve'esh Kodesh Tukad Bo, a house where you're able to bring sacrifices and have that fire and passion. And through this, I'll be able to sit in Hashem's house, and this is really what Hashem wants. Hashem wants to dwell down here. And every person has a mitzvah. And this, my friends, I think it's not a chiddush, and I'm well aware of it. It's not a chiddush. In the language of the Seals to Sharm and Zakdama, it's sometimes important to hear things that we already know and just remind ourselves that when we're talking about our pasuk, that do according to the way, build it according to the way I've shown, that not only the content, but the process of building itself has to be done with a Torah orientation. And that's really the lesson for our lives in these pivotal planks, an idea level number one. It's the way that we think. It's the way that we go about doing things. It's the way that we build our home, the hashkafa of our homes, the hashkafa of our own lives, and the way we build our own private lives. Is it alpi haTorah to the extent that it should be? Before I do something, do I ask myself, does this bring nachat ruach to Hashem? Do I ask myself, am I doing this because I desire this, or am I doing this because this is the best thing for the world? And this is what we need to have that mindset. You know, it reminds me, I had a conversation with a student recently who was telling me, you know, I'm bored in life, and therefore I do things that maybe I shouldn't do because I'm bored. What is this idea of bored? The idea is that you're here to build a world. If you're here to build a world, so you do things. You know, it's a world all about you, and that, you know, you're the center of the world, and if you're bored, then you can do things that may not be appropriate. Or are you here in this world to give and to build and to do and to create and to make yourself a mishkan? And if you're making yourself a mishkan, then certain things are appropriate to do and certain things are inappropriate to do. And that's the question. And it's also the question, which is a much broader question, which again, I'll just touch on, but not enter into, which is maybe one of the advantages of talking to myself and not a live audience, because it's obviously an explosive idea of what do we bring into our homes, that how does this reflect our mini base of Mikdash? What type of reading material? What type of things do we listen to? What does our home reflect? Is this a place of Kedusha and Tara? Is this a place of the of where Hashem would feel comfortable in our home? And it's again what we spoke about a few weeks ago, you know, bringing Hashem up over to your computer and letting him look over your shoulder. It's true of everything that we read to our children, that we listen to. Is all of this something that we feel that we are creating this Beis HaMikdash? And that's like a Tavnit Tahara, that which was shown to you on the mountain, the Har Sinai experience, that is a directive on how to live a life of Kedusha and Tahara. And again, you know, to the best of our ability, understanding our constraints, our understanding our challenges, that is idea number one, to try to build it as much as possible, or at least have an awareness to ask ourselves, are we building it? Are we in the process? Are we thinking? Are we creating? Are we educating ourselves and the people around us in our homes to be a place that is permeating and seeped with this understanding of the Kedusha Habayis, the Kedusha of the people in the home, and the sensitivity that we have that comes with it. Good. That's level number one. Level number two is probably more of a chiddush in understanding this pasuk. We'll begin with Shem and Atov, who quotes this idea in Source 10, Rabbi Weinberger. He says, Ita v'mishnah. The Gemara in Shabbat says, if you write two letters, whether Bembi Mino Bembi Smolo Chayav. Why only two letters? Talking about on Shabbos, right? What would be make you over? Again, we're not paskening halachically, but we're bringing down this Gemara. Lo Chayavu Shteo Tiyot El Mishum Roshem Shekach Kotvima Karchei Mishkan Leida Ezer Ben Zugo Ad Kan Lashona. Why was it two? So we know that Hilchos Shabbos is predicated on what happened in the Mishkan. Where did you have Kotev writing in the Mishkan? Right? Where did they write? So they wrote on the beams, you know, A, B, so that they knew which beam joined up with the other beam. So it was two letters, right, not necessarily A, B, granted. It was two letters, so that way they would know who their partner is. Good. Aval b'Yerushalmi Ita, but here the Gemara brings down in the Yerushalmi. Again, our pasuk says, v'akimota tamishkan kemishpato. You should build the Mishkan kemishpato, like its judgment, like its... What is Kemishpato? So the Gemara asks, V'chi yesh mishpat la'etzim? Do the trees, do the planks have some type of judgment, some type of order that you have to do it, build them this way? Ella, yes, they do. Ezu keresh d'zacha linatein b'tzafon, yinatein b'tzafon. If a keresh, if a beam, if a plank was designated, you are going to be in the north, it had to remain in that particular position. Bidurum yinatein bidurum, in the south, in the south. Im kain after kol crushing mayuba midachat, even though they were all the same. Ela tumikol mako mashva dikdima katu shiyebo totzad shaya mitchila yegam la'olam. Whatever side they were put, in whatever position they were put, that is where they stayed every single time they were built. And that's why it was noted, Aleph Bet Gimel, it had the exact order, so you know exactly where it was built. And we see here, says the Mishchat Shemin in Source number 11, V'nei kanan u'im shechefesh shel kedusha shishtamshu bo l'matara shel mitzvah ba'ofen mufzuyam ein la'achlif yishtamshu v'lasot bo mitzvah ba'ofen acher. If a mitzvah is done in a certain way, that's the way it should continually be done. Don't start switching it around, right? Don't make your Kiddush cup into something else. If it's been a Kiddush cup, allow it to remain as such. And Katab Hashem HaShalach Kadosh, Shemikan Pashat HaMinhag L'Asot Atara Mechatichat Meshi HaRosh HaTali L'Siman Shotan Tzitzit Shelefanav Shiyu L'Olam Lefanav Kemo Shemruhacha Keresh Shetachal Inatein B'Tzafon L'Olam B'Tzafon. The Shalach Kadosh says, we learn from here why we have an Atara. We have a... like a collar, a crown, for the talus, so that either made out of silk, today it's gold, or, you know, other embroidered material. Why? so that when you put on your talus, if you take a look at a talus without an atarat, without that, that's like that little piece on the top to show this is the top. Otherwise, without that piece, you take a look at a talus, it is four corners, and you could put it on in different ways where, today it's going to be on the right side, and this is going to be on the left side, and this is going to be in the front, and this is going to be in the back, and then I can put it on a different way, and it's going to be all flipped around. When I have an atara, when I have that embroidery, or the gold, or the simple, which comes with every talus, every time you put on the talus, you're putting on in the way that the tzitzis are in the exact same position from the first time that you put it on. And that idea of being in exactly the same position of where you started is learned from, is based on, says the Shulchan Aruch, that the planks were exactly where they were the first time, and continuously they did not move, they did not change. And this notes the Rasui Pesach Frank in source number 12, Letzitra Yom, quote, "We see at kama b'tocha k'dusha atzma yesh chilut ben sofon l'dorum b'matregos." So we say, what's the big deal? So this one is in the north today, and it's in the south the next time they move. Like, plank is a plank is a plank. What difference does it make? No. There's a difference between the Kedusha of the north and the Kedusha of the south. There's a difference in Hashpa, right? Again, it's going to that world of energy, where we may not understand the difference. And to us, a plank looks like a plank. But there is a certain aspect of energy that is put in, that there's a Madregas HaKedusha, there's a certain level of Kedusha that's on different levels. And Ein Lami, Kedushas Keresh Ne'afilu B'mad. And you can't lessen the Kedusha of a Keresh, even a small amount. So even though we have no Ki Ein Lanu Musag M'Ksat Madrega, we don't have any idea of what it means to lessen the spirituality of a plank. We don't even understand what that means, but there is such a concept where the Gemara is telling us, the Rishami is telling us, that when I tell you Kemishbato, like you should do it as I showed you, the order, there is an order. There is a Seder. And keep that plank in the third row in the south, and that plank on the second row in the north, and that's the way it has to stay, and don't move it one iota. This idea that wherever it is creates a certain energy, creates a certain shefa, a certain kedusha, helps explain as well what Tichal Yom brings from Shu'e Or, the idea that atidim batei knesiyot batei midrashos shebevavel shikbu'u be'eretz Yisrael, that we know, the Gemara tells us that the houses of learning and the shuls in outside of Israel, right, in this case Bavel, but it includes anywhere in Golos, will be replanted in Eretz Yisrael when Mashiach comes. Why? Because there was such tremendous Kedusha in these particular places. The Kol of Torah, the Mesiris Nefesh for Torah, there was so much going on in these particular places. So that Kedusha, when Mashiach comes and everyone moves, that you shouldn't lose, those places shouldn't lose all that was put into them. And therefore they're going to get picked up and brought to Eretz Yisrael as well. And again, it's this idea we've seen many times that we have to be a little bit more sensitive to, that the shul that we're in, the place that we're in, creates a certain energy, creates a certain kedusha, and that, sometimes we're a little bit too flippant. So we do it here, we do it there, what's the difference? No. Having a seder, having an order, and understanding the hashpa that's found in a place has tremendous significance. Now, I'd like to take the second level and really bring it to down to our lives in a very concrete way. And that is the idea that every single plank had its place. And this is an idea that Tiva Torah brings down. He says, V'im kachu beitzim, the asterisk in 14, if this is true about the wood, that they had to be in the exact position as they were originally established throughout the entire time the Mishkan was around, al achas kama v'kama b'imyan avodas adam kachi, we too should be able, we too need to have a similar structure in our lives. Sharei ha'idei ha'tfila bona adam ha'mikdasho ha'prati. How do we build? What are our planks to build our own? Mikdash is through tfila, it's through davening. U'mekayim b'zevet v'asuli mikdash v'shachanti b'tocha. V'im kein sarich ha'mitpalo makom kavua l'tfiloso. And here is another hint that you need to have a makom kavua, a specific place to daven. right? Which means in your shul or at home, that this is the place where you are davening. This is your makom kavua. This is where your plank is. And this is where your plank remains. And you don't daven here today, and in this room the next day, and over here the third day. No, particularly Shemoneh Esrei, it should be done in the same place. And we see, the Gemara says, Kol HaKaveh HaMakom L'Tfiloso, Elokei Avram Be'Esro. The verse that has a makom kavua, the God of Avravinu is going to be of help to this person. And also in Lima Torah, you need a makom kavua in the Dan 14. Hainu likbo lumo makom miyuchad. And even if you learn at home, that this should be your place to learn. We've spoken about many years ago, what is the idea of a makom kavua. I'd just like to mention one or two before really focusing in on a different aspect than we focused on in the past. So probably the classic is alluded to in 15 and 16. We'll start with Siftei Chaim at 15, where the pasuk tells us that Yitzchak Avinu went out lasur pasade, which was Tfilas Mincha, and he comes v'Yitzchak ba mibo ber l'chai roi. He comes from the place of ber l'chai roi. So we know the Sfarim speak about, the Ramban brings down Shaya Yitzchak olech tamid al makom ahu. That was his makom kavua, ber l'chai roi. Ki hu lo makom tfila bavor harot sham amalach. Because an angel was found there, this was his place where he connected in davening. Hamayla shakvius makom tfila. What is the idea of having this one set place to daven? Shakedusha vaharoshem shalat tfilos hakodmot b'makom ahu kikshu et hamakom shishmesh kitzinor lekabalah kedusha mela'ela ubiyeter sa'et. It's again very similar to the ideas we're talking about. When a person davens in a certain place, that place takes on a certain energy, takes on a certain roshah, takes on a certain impression. And therefore, when you come back to this place to daven, it's not like this place is now a place in a vacuum. No. When you walk into this place, you're overwhelmed, you're overcome with these feelings that the Rav Dessler speaks about. It enables us. It's like a jump start for our davening. Wow, these are places where I had such great tefillah. This is the place where I feel like HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So therefore, when you walk into this place, you're walking into a place of connectivity to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's that jump start that one needs. Yitzchak would go to Be'er, Avinu would go to Be'er L'chai Roi. Yaakov Avinu goes back to Har Moriah to daven. You feel something different. That when you walk into your makom kavua in shul or at home, you feel, this is the place where I connect to Hashem. And the roshem, the impression of all the tefillos that have been davening in that particular place, accompany you there, and they help you, and they escort you, and they elevate you in your tefillah. And that's a general way we understand what a makom kavua is all about. But let's try to understand this idea a little bit deeper. I'd like to begin with Titcha Elyon and then move into a Gevaldic piece of Rav Pinkus. A little bit esoteric, but I think if we can have it, absolutely brilliant. With Titcha Elyon quotes Rav Reuven Grodzewski, who's Rosh Yeshiva Tor V'Das, who says, the idea, the chashiva zakviyah shel kol echa v'mekomu v'tafkido b'li lazuz mimena k'malom neima. The idea of a makom kavua is not just a physical place. Well, okay, this is my makom kavua in shul, right? This is where I daven. It's much deeper than that. A person should have an understanding that this is their place in life. This is where they are holding in life. It's like an anchor, a grounding. And this is what the Ramban speaks about in by the Kilayim, that you shouldn't mix different types of, you know, grafting. Different types of plants together. Why? Because it's kivyochol mitarei v'maaseh breishit v'areihu kimevatel chukot shamayim. Hashem wanted to be this type of plant. It's not a question of eating it. It's a question of doing it, right? So, tangerines, whatever it is. Hashem wanted this plant and he wanted that plant. Who are you to come together and mix the order of maaseh breishit? The idea of kvius means that there is a certain way that things should happen, and we should follow this sense of order, and be able to hold by this sense of order, and not be so, you know, person who fluctuates so much. And, you know, we learn this by a sukkah. The sukkah, even though, she'ein ba din keva, nevertheless, a sukkah can't be something that the wind can, you know, a ruach mitsuya, a normal type of wind, can blow it down. It has to be something that's going to be able to hold. So if a wind comes and blows it down, it's not a sukkah. It doesn't count. Right? And that's where a lot of halachas are included there. And that's the difference between a tzaddik and a rasha. The tzaddik is shat tzaddiku ke'et shato apalgei mayim. A tzaddik is like someone who's firmly planted in the on the water. Shekol ruchos shebaolam lo yizizamim kamo. That all the winds of the world move this tzaddik. While the rishayim shemaseim hatovim him kemotza shir titven ruah. Like the chaff that gets blown in the wind. And this is the idea that to be called the Ben Torah, to be called someone Kovei Itim LaTorah, and Kviyas Mokom LaTorah, Kviyas Mokom for davening, have a set place to learn, set place to daven. It's not just a technical aspect, it's much deeper. It's a defining mark in who a person is, that their lives is about being able to set things into a pattern, that to be able to create a reality in life. And in fact, as Rav Pinkus notes in 18 in the Arrow, one of the questions that are asked after 120 years is not Lamadata Torah, did you learn Torah, but Kavata Itim LaTorah. The Kviyas is a Sharish Lakol. Kviyas means being able to establish order, to be able to have a regimen of how I behave in life. That it's not, as we'll speak about, however I feel like, you know, and then you're like, being, you know, drawn in the wind today and tomorrow. No, I'm a person who is very grounded and knows exactly how I'm proceeding in life. What is this idea of a makom kavua? So here Rav Pinkus describes, it's very deep and very beautiful. Usually two go together. He says, quoting the Ramchal 19, that our job in this world is b'chdei. Hashem created the world in order to do good for us. And our job in this world is lidamar elav yitbarach. Just like Hashem is one, and he does things of his own volition to give to others, we too should be like Hashem and do things to give to others from our own volition. And this is the idea of imatati odeo, being a giver. Now, we normally think, in Source 20, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu kulo b'chinat notein, olam chesed yibaneh, Hashem gives and gives and doesn't receive. So how do we give? Well, we think that we give by doing chesed, and we think that we give in doing mitzvot. But the real type of giving, the ultimate type of giving, is giving our souls. Mesiras nefesh, which is really mesiras ratzon, giving our entire being to Hashem, being a giver and not a taker. And here, Rav Pinkus develops this and says the following. Okay, so I understand that God is the giver and not a taker, because God doesn't need anything. And obviously God, whatever it means, God gives, but he created the world of olam chesed yibaneh, of bestowing goodness upon us, God from goodness, as Rabbi Kaplan said. And we, imitati odeo, who have to reflect God, should be givers and not takers. So isn't my life of Torah mitzvos a life of giving? Like, isn't that enough? So says Rav Pinkus, no. He says, 21, Yachol Yehudi Lachyot Chaim Shel Torah. You can live a life of Torah, to get up in the morning and at night and to daven, and to live your whole life as a Chayi Torah, but to be a Mekabel, to be a receiver and not a giver. What does this mean? It means, what's a person's mindset? Like when a person davens, do they daven because they want a relationship with Hashem? Do they want a connection to Hashem? Or are they davening for what they can get from it? I want to get health. I want to get money. I want this. I want that. So I daven in order to get. I learn Torah in order to get a reward. And I do it because that's what I have to do. So this is all a mekabel. It's a very, maybe very sublime difference, but it's a very fundamental difference. Are we a mekabel that all we want to do is see Mechamat hakaratenu b'to'elet she'yesh lo b'maitzeh? Are we only doing things for what we get out of it? You know, it's like a kid, you ask them, can you do something for me? And they say, well, what is it? And what they're really saying is, well, what is in it for me? Like, what am I going to gain from it? So, you know, parents say, oh, why don't you do me a mitzvah and get me a cup of water? So it's not because they want to give to their parents. They want to get the, depends on the kid, they want to get the mitzvah, right? They want to get something. We're all like that. It's what we want to get, not what we want to give. to live a life of kvius makom l'Torah, or kvius makom for davening. You know what that means? It means, in the Ashtics in 22, kachi gam kvius ha'itim l'Torah, kishadam kovea latzmo itim l'mol Torah. When you say, this is going to be the time I'm going to learn, this is the time I'm going to daven. It's not because I'm in the mood to learn now, I'm in the mood to daven now. It means that this is a time that I'm giving to Hashem, and it's not whether I'm in the mood for it or not in the mood for it. It's not whether I'm tired or I'm not tired. If this is the time to give to Hashem, Mesiris Nefesh, Mesiris Ratzon, I am giving of this time to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And this is really, I think, defines and describes us in 23. Lanu ein starim mushachim kisadrov shor Yeshua ben Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Hastarim shalanu arba shaulim uvisidrei tefila. V'af apikei. How do we go through our lives? Whether our lives are in learning, whether our lives are in chesed, whatever we do. Yom echad kamim. One day we get up. Wow, I'm ready to go. Yom echad lo kamim. I just can't get out of bed. Yom echad mitpalim makom zeh. Today I'm going to daven here, to daven, tomorrow I'm going to daven there. You know, I'm really not in the mood to daven today. Ki ayom yesh li cheshek hazeh, machar cheshek acher. Today I'm in the mood, tomorrow I'm not in the mood. Imein li koach lakum, ani poshut lo kam. If I don't have the energy to get up, I don't get up. Ani hakol bevchinat mekabel. I am a total mekabel, I'm a total giver. Because I'm living my life. What is good for me? What do I get out of it? What is comfortable for me? My whole life is about me. And that's not the meat of Aravinu. The meat of Aravinu is that Nidivei Amim Nasafu Am Elokei Avraham, which is the Kibitzel Tehillim Mem Zayin, we say before Tchiyas Shofar, whom Nidevet Atzmo, he gave of himself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which means he lived a life of Hakdashat Korban. He gave of himself Kulo LaHashem, a Shlemos in Torah, a Shlemos in Tefillah. That if it's 8 o'clock in the morning and I'm supposed to daven, whether I'm in the mood or I'm not in the mood, I'm davening. And if it's 10 o'clock and I have a Seder and learning or a Chavrusa, that's what I'm doing. And if it's 2 o'clock and I do a Chesed at 2 o'clock on Thursday, whether I'm tired or not, I'm going to do that Chesed at 2 o'clock on Thursday. That is HaKoveya Makom LeTfilato, Tfilato Yavadasha Kula Klapei Mala. Mipshum shuei natsluya becheshek o bekadaud. Adam hamergil atzmo bekach voset starav kviyur zocheh shelokei Avram yebetro. That's what we mean, that such a person who's kovei itim a kviyas makom for tefillah, Hashem will be of help to him. It's not just that this is my makom kavu and shul. It's much deeper than that. This is my whole reality in life. That I understand my life is about giving of myself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And I realize that there is going to be a Seder in my life. And when that time comes, whether I'm in the mood or I'm not in the mood, I'm ready to give of myself to the commitment that I made. Because this is a person who's firm with commitment. This is a person who's anchored. This is a person who isn't going to wake up every morning and like take their temperature and say, what am I in the mood for today? You know, like, let me see what I'm going to do today. I'm in the mood to do this chesed, I'm not. A person has a way of being very responsible and consistent. And in fact, says Rav Wolbe in Chelek Aleph on Seder, Hare kiyuma olam talui b'storim. That's what the world is based on, is having Seder. You want to be able to go through life in a way of light, in a way of energy. You need to be a person who's going to have Seder, a person who's going to be organized in your daily schedule. And he continues in 25. He says, "Kol mishu bardat yoter mechaveiro yoter yatzivu ba'anakatom mechaveiro." You need to be yatziv. You need to be anchored, and you need to have a seder hayom, which begins, you know, with taking care of your physical needs and the room that you sleep in, i.e., making your bed, and the seders vanei sheina, the times that you go to sleep, and the times that you eat, and the times you do different things, and then an inner clock of being able to know how much to eat, how much to rest, All of this is a yesod. And he says this is what's going to stop a person from getting, you know, pushed over by the tidal waves of life. Yosef HaTzadik was able to be Omed B'Tzidko, whether he was a shepherd in his father's house, or a viceroy in Egypt, or somewhere in between as a slave in prison, in the Bor. It didn't matter, because he understood that life is about having a Seder, having an order to your life. And when you have an order to your life, when things are in order, then things progress in a way that you understand that there's meaning in life, you understand what your day is about, and it gives a whole different structure to your life. Like, we know this ourselves, particularly as women. Those people who are organized housewives, right? I happen to know one or two of them. It's a Mila, which means that when a kid comes home and they put their shoes in a certain place, then you don't have the whole next day when they're looking for their shoes, Ima, where are my shoes? And you say, wherever you left them. Wherever you left them is Hefkeros, right? I'm giving this as an example. If you have Seder, then the kid knows where their shoe is. And if you put back whatever you use in the kitchen, you'll find your spices the next time you're looking for it. When a person, again, the shoes and the spices are just catch phrases for what life is about. When things are in a Seder, when things are in order, and you know it's 12 o'clock, this is where I should be. It's 2 o'clock, this is where I should be. This is, then your life is an organized life. And that's how Hashem created the world. Hashem created a world that was Tohu Vavohu. This is Rav Mordechai Kamenetsky in the Sefer we mentioned last time, Step by Step. This means of orderliness. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu took. The world is based on order. The Aaron 26, the cosmos, the galaxies, the planets, the earth, the seasons, the daily cycle of life are all based on one important factor, a majestic order that proclaims a divine genius of the Creator. If Hashem indeed looked into a Torah to create this world masterpiece, then the concept of order must be an integral component in the master blueprint of the Holy Torah. And you see this in learning at 27. At certain ages, you learn certain things. And the way the manner is, the Torah is taught, the ages, the specific study patterns, there's a Seder. 28, Rav Pesach Kron, during his trip to the great Torah centers of Eastern Europe, relayed the outstanding qualities of Seder that were inherited in the leadership of the great Tales Yeshiva. Tells Rav Shiva Yosef LeBlach led his life with such meticulous order that every move is calculated to the minute. Besides his meticulous sartorial manner, there was never a moment that was unaccounted for. He would set appointments for boys, listen to this, to speak to him in increments of 4, 7, or 10 minutes. His daily ritual was punctilious. He would finish his breakfast and grace over meals at exactly 10 o'clock each morning, whereupon he entered the base medrash. At 3:15 he would rest. This rest would take place every day, including the day of his own daughter's wedding. The great adherence to this rule of order was passed on to the next generation, Rav Aaron Yitzchak Bloch, the son of Yosef Leib, gave a directive to his daughter Miriam before he was tragically murdered by the Nazis. In his parting words, he said, I want you to remember that no matter what situation you find yourself, always conduct yourself with the same Seder Ayom. Always keep your daily schedule, your timely commitments, your obligations, no matter where you are. If you live your life with Seder, with a set time and purpose for everything, you will never lose yourself or your sense of purpose. That is the idea that we have to speak about. That you have to have. What is the idea of the planks being in a certain place? This is the second idea of pivotal planks. And that is, there has to be a Seder in life. It's not like the planks on the north today and the south tomorrow and the third position today and the fourth position tomorrow. No. Things need to have a place. Our lives need to have a place. Where we go is important. How we go. What is our Seder Yomi? And it's what the Sfarim are saying here, and this is fundamental, is that it doesn't only impact technically how we live our day. It gives us that anchor. It gives us that ability to be able to focus on what is important in our lives and to be able to recognize this is what I need to focus in on in life. And if something comes my way, I know that I'm strong enough and my day and my life is orderly and organized enough that I can't allow this to throw me completely off. And then people get disheveled and then they get all harried. Oh, I'm a person who has an idea of Seder. Now, having said this, of the importance of Seder, the importance of order, one may then say, oh my, it seems like we're living such a rigid life. So I'd like to bring two caveats to this idea of Seder. The first is one that the Alehi Gayon brings down about the Adonim. We know, 33, it's not through the prism of Torah, the Adonim are the foundation upon which the Mishkan stands. These silver sockets were placed on the ground and into were inserted the gold-covered crushing. So the crushing went into the Adonim, the planks went into these sockets. Now we know that the sockets could be placed in any place that you wanted. The idea of the north, the south, which existed by the crushing, the planks did not exist by the Adonim. You could move the Adonim around. So ask in the Alei Gayon, why is this so? So he says, and this is again giving us a sense of this larger picture. The 100 Adonim represent the Mea Brachos, the 100 Brachos that we say every day. And the 100 Brachos and what the Adonim were about, the sockets, the foundation, is about Yirat Shamayim. And the arrow in 32, Uma'at Adonim Shemashmutam Adonim Adon, Adonim, the sockets come from Adon, Master. The Adonim Hein Yisod Ladnut Hashem B'Mishkano Be'olam. The Adonim were the foundation of Hashem's mastery in the Mishkan and the world. And since the Adonim's whole idea is fear of heaven, when you're talking about Yerushalayim has to be in every step of the way. Yerushalayim is in everything that you do. That awareness and focusing in on a Kadosh Baruch Hu, it's not as rigid if you could only find, as he said, Yerushalayim and Shishi and Kibbudim. No, Yerushalayim is found everywhere. So while we need to have a Seder in our lives, and the two don't contradict each other, while we need to have a certain time that we do and a certain thing that we do, whether we're in the mood for it or not, we keep up our daily routine, keep up our daily schedule. Having said this, when it comes to Yerushalayim, you have to find it in every step of the way of what you're doing. It's not like you can only find Yerushalayim in this area, or only find Yerushalayim in that area. The Adonim could be all over the place. You could switch it. They're interchangeable. Because when it comes to the Mea Adonim, comes to the Mea Brachos, which is about Yerushalayim, that is about being able to find and acknowledge and connect to Kadosh Baruch Hu at every step of the way. And the other thing that we need to know about this idea of this rigidity in order is a piece of the Mishkat Shemin Rav Kaufman from Gateshead where he says the following. He says, if order is so important, then how come we have an idea, source 34, that the different Kohanim would serve in different places during any given day? They do a pious, they do a gorel, they would do a lottery to decide who is going to bring this, who's going to bring the Ola, who's going to bring the Ketoret, etc. So if you're into Kviyas, so you should have the same Kohen, do the same thing every day. So he says the Chasam Sofer asks this question, the Chasam Sofer answers that the Beis HaMikdash was different because it had such, implications in the spiritual world that it had to be exact in doing things, but our behavior down here doesn't have that same effect. He notes the following. He says, and this is really where the challenge is, when you go through the same Seder every day, the challenge is, how do you keep up the same passion and the same enthusiasm? And that was the greatness of Aaron HaKohen, that we know in the Aaron 37, Melamed Shloshina, that he did everything the same way every day, but he never changed his hislavos, his passion. And that's why, indeed, we have different Kohanim doing different avoda, because there's a fear that if they do the same thing every single day, they're going to lose this passion, they're going to lose this enthusiasm. And this is a challenge that we have to face ourselves. 38, Umikan anu lomdim hora'a klali bavadat ha-boret. Shakashir ish Yisrael nigash l'kayim echad me'amitzvot shenitztavah b'hem. When we have a mitzvah, and we meet this mitzvah every day, the mitzvah of tefillah, 8 o'clock every morning, whatever time you daven, the mitzvah of chesed, the mitzvah of learning, the mitzvah of brachos, whatever mitzvah it is, Beinim zu mitzvah ba mitzvah l'zman, Beinim zu mitzvah ba midei yom b'yomo, whether it's a daily mitzvah or an infrequent mitzvah, suma aleinu lishmo aruach yitchatshut v'idranenut t'midit u'bulti nisekeh. We have to, on the one hand, keep this Seder, keep this order, But on the other hand, understand that there is a natural challenge in a person to have the same hislavas, the same passion, and hence the Kohanim would serve in different functions, and they have a gora. And this is our challenge. Our challenge is to keep within the same structure, but to be able to have within that structure every day passion and enthusiasm, and not let the doldrums of life, of same old, take over us, right? Where do midlife crisis come from? Like, I've been doing this for 40 years. I have to do this for another 40 years? My gosh, how can I get up out of bed in the morning? No. I've been doing this for 40 years, and I have a life of a schedule, of a routine, but I have a life of meaning. And I have a life where I need to create this meaning. I have to look at it as new every single moment, to feel the chayos, the tanug, to be able to feel this passion. Ah, how do we do this? It's a $1 million question, my friends. But one of the ways to do this is the emuna in a Kodesh Baruch Hu, to feel the chesed of Hashem at every single moment. And this is one of the greatest challenges and gifts that we could have. When we go through our daily routine, our daily lives, if we are cognizant at every moment or at every time we're really, you know, into contemplating and thinking, which hopefully will be often on Wednesday, no guarantee, to appreciate life itself, to appreciate breathing, to appreciate being able to function, right? I mean, this tragedy of these children of this Hadbara, of this extermination, just, it's beyond our human comprehension, but it just makes us realize that things we take so for granted, breathing, living, it's a miracle that we're alive. Like, every day we have to say Moda Ani with such enthusiasm, such gratitude. I'm alive today. Hashem has invested me with another day. And throughout my day, to feel and to thank and to recognize and to appreciate the Hashkacha of Hashem in my life, and to be able to constantly daven that Hashem should continue to bench me with this chesed. Normally, Parshas Truma is around Purim time, if it wasn't a leap year. And we know that by Purim, Mordechai Tzadik is called the Ish Yehudi. And what is Ish Yehudi? Yonatan ben Uziel says, the dot in 40, Gavar chasida umode umitzale kodem aloka al ame, a person who gives thanks and davens in front of Hashem. And this explains in the Shoshanas Yaakov, in the Pismon in 41, where you don't have a balance. Arur Haman curses Haman because Labdi, he tried to destroy us. Arura Zeresh, Zeresh is cursed. Eshet Mafride, right, the wife of the one of this fear. Brucha Esther, Esther is blessed. Magina Bati, she saved us. And then Baruch Mordechai, Hayehudi, blessed Mordechai, the Jew. Well, hold on a second. What did he do, right? Esther saved us. She followed. What did Mordechai do? Mordechai Yehudi. Yeah, I know it's a Yehudi. So they say no. 42. With the Targum, we understand, blessed is Mordechai, whose greatness is Yehudi being able to thank Hashem, which is the counter of Amalek, Asher Korcha Baderech, who wants us to live a life of coldness, of Higiashna, of same old, the doldrums of life. Yes, we need to have a Seder. The pivotal planks is that you need to have an order of your day, that you need to be able not to just go by, you know, how you feel today and the whims of the day, but you need to have a Seder. You need to have an order. You need to have a serious nefesh and give yourself to that order. But the challenge is within that to be able to feel Hashem's kindness in everything that you do. Now, when you say a bracha, you say, thank you, Hashem, for giving me this gift, this food, this enjoyment, this pleasure, whatever it is, being able to feel this connection to Hashem. Amalek tried to rid us of this. He tried to make our lives a cold, mechanical, the computer age life where you don't, it's like mentioned before, when you say thank you to that Sari voice on the computer, she says, there's no need to thank me. Of course there's no need to thank her, because she's a computer. But what terrible midos, this is. Of course you need to thank. You need to thank, but you need to live in a world of being able to appreciate the Ribono Shel Olam and not a computer and a computer voice, which is a world that has hardened us in so many different ways. And when the Kasher, the Aaron 43, Mishchat Shemin concludes, Mitchaskim b'nei Yisrael, Bavodas HaKodesh, L'kayim HaMitzvos b'chayus u'biflavus kamuun. When we are able to do the mitzvot with the passion that we need, then we're strengthening ourselves in our emunah. Kasher mitchaskim l'gbirat or emunah, v'orid lavud v'chashut v'kiyum mitzvot. When we're able to do this, we're able to lessen the koach of the satan. So, my friend, the second level of the pivotal planks, if the first level is to be able to do what Hashem has commanded, the second level is to have order in life. There's a place for my shoes. There's a place for my work. There's a place for everything has a place. My life has a place. And then a person isn't going to be, you know, they have order. They have a direction. They have movement. And then they feel much, much more fulfilled and gratified because they know what they've accomplished. They can look back on what they've accomplished. Their lives are full of Seder. Their lives are full of order. It functions on a much better level. Having said this, within that Seder, our challenge is to feel the slavos, the passion, and to realize wherever we turn, we have to be able to look for this Yira Shamayim. We have to look for this feeling of closeness and emunah to Hashem. In the 2 minutes that we have left, we'll just mention the third level, which Mordechai Druk and Drash Mordechai brings down based on the Baal HaTurim. Baal HaTurim says, it says twice, Asher Har'eta, or Har'eta, that lashon of to be seen here, and Ata Reso Ladad Ki Hashem Olokim, you have shown us to see that Hashem is the God. Bahar, Asher Eta Bahar Ar Pasuk, and Ata Reto Ladad is that in this mountain, on our Sinai, Hashem has chosen and shown us how He is the only one around. In the Aaron 44, in order to be able to build the Mishkan, you need to have a Nod Bavado. So when the Pasuk says, and you should build the Mishkan like I've shown you, Asher Har'eta Bahar, that I've shown you on the mountain, the building of the Mishkan has to be predicated and connected with the Har Sinai experience of Atah HaReitza Ladah, of knowing that Hashem is there. The building of the Mishkan has to go hand in hand with Emunah. Why? So Rav Druk argues, he says, because in order to build the Beis HaMikdash, and again, it's a physical structure as well as our lives, you have to be able to give. You have to be able to give gold and silver. And anybody who doesn't have a moon says, I can't part with my things. Like me, I can't give up what I have. But a person who understands that everything they have comes from Hashem, and they're sameach b'chokam, they're happy with their lot, and they're not sarayin, they're not so stingy, then they'll be able to share and to give. What is the prerequisite to build a Mishkan? Asher Eta Bahar. That you recognize that Hashem is the one who gives, and Hashem is the one who directs. And when you have that clarity of Emunah, you're ready to give of your possession to build a Hamikdash. And you're ready to give of your money to give your child's tuition, even though you'd prefer to take that money on a vacation somewhere. But you have that Emunah, you have that understanding what your priorities are in life. Asher Eta Bahar, you want to build a Mishkan for Hashem? You have to be understanding of Emunah, of that a person has to know that Hashem is leading his life. And this is Rav Gamliel Rabinowitz points out in the Sefer and Amunah. This is the idea of Leah calling Yehuda. It wasn't just, I thank Hashem now. No, I live my life constantly. Every time she called Yehuda, the Sfarim say, it reminded her, I always constantly have to thank Hashem, that I'm able to see the Hashgacha Pratit in this, that I can't take anything for granted, and Hashem allowed this to take place. And that's why we're called Yehudim. We are called Jews based on this, that our whole lives have to be intertwined with this understanding that Hashem is holding my hand and leading me in every way. So when we build our Mishkan, it's Asher HaReita Bahar. It's building with the understanding of Atah HaReita Ladad. You've shown us on the mountain that there's none other but you. And when I have that clarity, then I can build Asher HaReita Bahar. I can build my own Mishkan. Vakimota Ta Mishkan Kimishmato. I can build my own private Mishkan because I know everything is built and based on how you want me to live my life because I have that clarity. So our pivotal planks have three lessons that we've seen. Everything is as Hashem commanded, recognizing everything needs to have a place and an order, and recognizing that everything that we have in life is ultimately based on that relationship that we have with Hashem. A sharet of Ahara, Tarei Soladah, of that clarity of Amuna that we got at Mount Har Sinai. And when we live our lives with this clarity, that our lives are about building a Mishkan for Hashem, and we live our lives with understanding of how can I bring Hashem into my life at every moment, in my thoughts, in my desires, in my passions, in all aspects of my life, and to be able to find Hashem in all aspects of my life, then my life, which is a life of organized Seder, has infused in it a passion, a connection, and a real commitment to do the will of Hashem.
Hi, Bobby. Good job. I love you. Have a good day and a good week.